Greetings and welcome to Mount
Blog
Olympus.
Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. And today on the Age of Heroes, I am proud to bring you The Enchant Itself with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. And her guest for today is Doreen Lapperton-Addison. And their topic is mind-body enchantment. Greetings and welcome, Barbara. How are you?
I'm fine. Great to be with you again, Hercules, and to have one of my dearest friends and colleague join us is a really special treat. I think this will be an interesting show. So I'll just jump in and give some thoughts and let Doreen then give some thoughts.
Awesome.
So let me remind people about The Enchant Itself. The Enchant Itself is all about the best parts of ourselves and achieving happiness, joy, a sense of purpose, a sense of well-being, a sense that we do have a destiny and things to do in life that make us unique and special, and yet at the same time, part of the crowd. And all of us want to have many of these positive moments, these enchanted moments, these moments when you feel whole, you feel settled, you feel time passing and it means nothing. You want to stay with what you're doing. And it's a sense that you are potentially using your potential in a way that feels just super. It's just a wonderful feeling of openness and seriousness and fun and all sorts of things mixed in. But now let's get serious. Do we really feel this way most of the time? Well, truthfully, the answer is often no. Do we always know how to get to our enchanted self? Again, the answer is often no. Do we search ways to get back to our enchanted self? I would say instinctively to some degree, yes. But of course, you can go over the cliff into darkness and then it can become no. You're not bothering anymore. You don't have the energy. Do we really understand how to get to our enchanted self and how to use our brains and body to help us get there? Well, again, it's a range of answers. For many, it is no. I just want to be lucky. I hope someone will cheer me up. I hope someone will say that I'm pretty today or they like the essay I wrote in class. But I'm not really owning it. And then there are those people that do know how to get back. So what we want to do today is help and explain and give ideas around how we get back to our enchanted self so it doesn't get locked up. So I'm going to talk about from the brain, the mind point of view, how we do some of these things. And I'm going to let Doreen now introduce herself and tell how she may be helping us from more the body type of things. And then we can talk together about how they join. Welcome, Doreen. I am really excited to have you join Hercules and myself again. Go ahead. I'll jump in.
Thank you, Barbara. As always, I'm very happy to be here with you and Hercules and to be able to share. You know, I do love our time together, no matter what we're doing. And through the years, we've done a lot, both together and separately. And I just love our connection. So anything you want to add, Barbara? Or I guess you're going to start.
Well, I want wanted to give them a little bit of your background.
Okay. So I am what I call a somatic movement educator, which is someone who works with the body on a somatic level, soma, meaning of the body. And I do that in a range of ways, whether it's through teaching dance or working one-on-one with people who want to and or need to become more conscious of how they're moving so that they can improve the quality of their life, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I've worked with a variety of populations through my years, from preschoolers through seniors. And I currently am teaching at a university in the area here. And I do anything and everything related to movement because my mission is to help people to feel more comfortable in their bodies and to become more self-expressive.
Very beautifully said. Can you grab maybe one or two projects that are entirely yours over the years and maybe give a little shot, like, you know, a little bit, a minute or two of what it was like and what happened in the project?
Oh, you're asking me to think through many, many years. Well, I was working for, I think, two products. There's a project called Global Water Dances, and that comes every 2 years. It's to bring awareness to issues of water quality, drinking water, in both locally in your own environment, space, and globally. I've had the pleasure of choreographing with co-choreographing and working with wonderful groups of people, both dancers and non-dancers, to create these performances.
What do you mean by performances tied into the water?
So we would pick a place. One place we did was near the Atlantic Ocean in our area here. Actually, both were on the by the Atlantic Ocean. One was actually on the beach, and the next time we did it was not on the beach, but overlooking the water. And it was a combination of alerting people to issues surrounding water, you know, water quality. What was going on locally, we'd have different speakers come from different commissions and also people that just wanted to speak about water quality. You know, after Sandy in our area, Hurricane Sandy, there was a young teenager who felt she needed to speak and wanted to speak about the effect of having this storm that we had that created a lot of damage. Physically in our environment and mentally, emotionally. A lot of people were displaced. And then we choreographed dances. And so it's really more collaborative approach with different people taking the helm. So to say, usually myself and there was another wonderful person who would do that, Sherry Greenspan, and creating works surrounding water, about water. So one dance was a dance that everyone would do globally, you know, anybody, anywhere on this earth. And then the other were dances created for local issues. That was a project that I did for two years. And then, you know, basically, well, go ahead, Barbara.
No, I want to just break in at this point because it's such a marvelous example of the mind-body work that can happen to bring people into enchantment. Because really, for human beings and probably for most animals too, it's not just mind and brain, and it's not just moving. You know, a lion or a tiger could run for miles and has the athletic ability just inborn, but the animal still needs to, you know, have a safe haven to go to sleep and feel in his own way as an animal nurtured and cared for. And when you get to people, it's a hundredfold that you take something like a storm that uproots people or an earthquake or anything, and now the pandemic that we're dealing with, even the hundreds and millions of people that have been safe in their homes, you know, watching TV, different cereals, and has certainly had enough at the grocery stores, even if maybe one shelf was empty, there would be another product they could use. You know, most people have had a safe haven during the pandemic, but still tremendous mental problems have existed. For kids, it can be problems that not seeing their friends in school, not seeing cousins, grandparents, whoever, wearing masks very often, particularly for very young children, has kept them from the normal steps of social integration. As far as their parents, a lot of them have been home with them, and loss of income or finding kids crazy, jumping on beds and not wanting to join the school. You know, it's just problem upon problem upon problem between the need for physical and social stuff for kids and the need to control an environment, which the brain really needs that. We need to know where we put our hairbrush, you know, even if we run around looking for it. We need to have some stability. And so these are such, I think this is just a fabulous project that covered almost every area of mind-body efforts to individually achieve enchantment. So I just wanted to break in and talk about it.
Well, that's fine. May I give another example?
Sure.
And Barbara knows this because Barbara is a part of this, is that I teach a somatic ballet class. I've done it for many years. It started out as a summer project for students at the college that I was teaching at the time. It became its own evolution and class of mostly women, I'd say from 40 years on up, with the occasional younger person, male and female. And I want to say that, you know, Barbara, you spoke about how people, you know, during COVID or and even beyond, so I'll just speak with the COVID first, is that when we couldn't meet in person, those who wanted to, we would meet twice a week through Zoom. And for me, and I believe for others, although I can't speak for others, that it was a way for us to keep some normalcy in our lives, that we would meet on Zoom and do our class. And the power of dance and movement and hearing the music, there was such energy, communal energy, that I felt and personally really helped to get me through the pandemic when we couldn't, you know, basically leave our house too much. But also in the class itself, even before the pandemic and after, when we were able to resume classes in person, I always felt that it was a safe haven, as Barbara spoke, with a safe haven, a safe environment where we were supporting one another in our movement choices. Now, we started off with ballet, and of course I would always add anatomy or whatever I'm working on at the time to enhance the movement, again, for self-expression and ease of movement. And to watch the women and the men in class when we were able to move freely and as one chose to move, to see their expression, their authentic expression. They, you know, let down their guard, so to speak, and were able to move because they know they were in a safe place. They know where they were supported. The energy in the room was just, it's electric, you know, and electric in a calming way and an enlivening way. So I always felt when people left the class, whether in person or in Zoom, you felt much better about yourself. You just felt good. And not only in the body, but in the mind and emotionally, it was a, or it still continues to be a place where people can come and be themselves and learn.
Yes, that's true. And I was in the class most of the time. And I felt the peacefulness and felt the closeness because there was a long period of time, really, for me, a senior citizen, had to be careful, for my husband, too. We really didn't see much of anybody in person for close to a year. And the Zoom really gave us that opportunity for the integration of, again, some degree of enchantment. Now, I'm not a polished dancer. It had nothing to do with could I perform in front of people. It had to do with being able to feel integrated and safe and not frightened and feel comfortable in my body. So, yeah. It's just, I'm going to just reflect a little bit on something that is my own journey. When I wrote the book, The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, I put in a lot of exercises that people could do on their own. And I'm going to tell you one or two, and then I'm going to tell you, you know, that it's even more than that. But these are good. They can be very helpful to start you on your journey. And one of them is you sit quietly in a chair and you either take notes or you just remember and you start to, over your lifetime, to see your talents and your strengths in retrospect with 2020 hindsight. And there's going to be some, no matter who you are. You're going to have some talents and strengths. Now, maybe they were put down by your parents or relatives or friends, but they're there. Maybe they've been almost crushed, but they can come back to life. It's only a matter of purpose and determination and timing. The one other thing when you sit and do this reverie is to think about your potential, what you want to still develop in your life. What is it? Is it playing bridge? Is it walking? Is it being with friends more often? It doesn't have to be anything that makes money or is big, but it could be. You may want to be in politics, really, in this lifetime, and there's still time and still a chance. So that's something only you will know. And the stimulation in your brain of recognizing the things and then going on to do some of the intentional thinking and planning that particularly positive psychology suggests, even keeping in your wallet or your pocket or your wallet or your purse some intentional remarks. I plan to develop my talents in ceramics. By this time next year, I will be ahead of where I am now. You know, that can be very useful, visualizing accomplishments. So that's one exercise. The other exercise is more something to get your sensitivities and your sense of just noticing things and watching more. It can be as simple as just getting a whole bunch of spices out of your cabinet and smelling them and thinking about places you'd like to go that have that kind of odor, like I'm sure Morocco and certain parts of Asia. You know, if you keep some spices that sort of go with that part of the world, you can almost feel it. And the more you can feel sensations and relax even thinking of possible things that you could do or feel, it's just good. It just gets you quicker with yourself. And when Doreen and I work together with our workshops, we often combine this type of mental exercise with a physical exercise that really help people. And do you remember, Doreen, when we did the blowing bubbles?
Oh, yes. What? Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, if you can talk about that.
Right. I want to talk just a couple of things. The blowing of bubbles just brings out the childlike quality in all of us, you know. And aside by the wonderment of looking at making bubbles, right, there's also the whole idea that you're breathing. You know, you have to take a breath in, inhale. You have to exhale to blow these bubbles. So you're adding a breath. You have to have a breath in order to do that. And it's very good for calming the body and hence the mind. There was, you know, through movement, Barbara, you know, what was so wonderful about those workshops, everything was wonderful about them, but, you know, we have the mind, the thought, and then we were able to put it out either through the body or in doing something. I remember we had people look at pictures and they would tell stories, you know, of what those pictures mm-hmm. reminded them of. We had scarves so people could actually move whatever it is they were feeling, you know, to different kinds of music. And to watch people, they were open and allowing themselves to be vulnerable on some level that they could connect with their innermost self, but it was coming out in physical form, you know. So whether it was talking or actually doing an art project or moving, doing those things really aligns, I believe, mind-body. I don't see them as two separate things. I think of thoughts that resonate in our bodies and the things we do with and in our bodies can bring forth thoughts. So it's a very... back and forth relationship. One of the things that you're talking about, one of the things that you were talking about was, smelling the spices and doing those things, or, you know, also, I know you probably have spoken about this in the past, the vision boards where you actually either cut out things out of magazines, newspapers, or words, and you put them out, you know, on a cardboard or a piece of paper that you can look at, and again it gets from your brain out and you can see it, and it's a reminder, you know. Or even sometimes people put note cards by their mirrors, you know, or before they go mm-hmm. out, you know, constant reminders that I can do this. And Barbara, when you spoke, I was thinking to myself, wow, you know, we can do almost anything we want to do in some way. It might not be the way that we might have imagined, but something, if we just open up and say, yes, we can, you know, I can do this if I truly want to on some level.
Right. And then, yes, and it may be in a very different form. You know, it may be giving some money to help a teenager do what you didn't get a chance to do, you know. So you are mentoring someone else and giving them a road ahead of them. It comes in all shapes and sizes and can still evoke in the person a sense of being an enchanted self and doing goodness at the same time. And Yeah, it's just, it's endless. I think that on the darker side, we can't expect people that have been broken down by life, difficulties, illness, lack of a job, lack of good housing, to, you know, just bounce back to early successes and potential. That is much more complicated. It's, we have to be very, I think, learn to understand that oftentimes when people can't do what you think they could do, there are many, many reasons, and you don't also, you often don't know all of them. So
I agree.
And it's easy to deprecate or, you know, get angry or say, what's the big deal? But it is a big deal. Being close to your enchanted self is the most precious friendship you can ever have in life. And if it gets interrupted in childhood or in a bad marriage or wherever, it's a very, very precious thing to try to get back. Now, a lot of my work is designed for people that are not there at that point, that they have spontaneity. They do get back on their horse most of the time. You know, they do look for ways to bring happiness and joy into the family, even on limited whatever income, living arrangements, whatever. And that's okay. I mean, not everybody can handle everything. And I chose as a psychologist to be very encouraging to ordinary. I saw myself as pretty ordinary, and I saw many of my clients having some problems, but really they had apparatus to work with, and they just had to have it pointed out to them, encouraged to get back to their talents and strengths and habits that really worked for them. And it's been, for me, a joyful, joyful adventure. My goodness, I couldn't have dreamed 30 years ago that I would have as much of a chance for this enchanted self journey. And Doreen has been, you know, very special in my life. I can't leave her out too long of what I'm saying, because when we joined in doing these workshops, it really brought my skills more physically integrated, you know, for myself. And I remember, I was going to say with a couple of the clients, some things I remember, we did the workshops. Like, Doreen, you probably remember when we were invited to San Francisco and we went to that. Yeah, that was a big, big win for both of us. We did a three-hour workshop at a national conference that I can't even remember the exact name of, but we were there. And this one woman, we were writing and looking at pictures and having memories, and she was reminded of how full and wholesome and happy she was when she was with her family and all the kids got into inner tubes in the lake and were just playing and paddling and whatever. And you think about inner tubes, probably anyone under 50 doesn't even know what I just said. All cars, the tires had inner tubes. And lots of people spent their summers paddling around in the inner tube because nobody bought anything to, you know, go with summer in terms of expensive, fun equipment. They use the inner tubes. And what a delight for her. And then someone else at a different workshop talked about how calming she remembered feeling sweeping the garage. And I think a whole nother thing that we are so dismissive of, if something looks too ordinary, we don't bother with it. We don't get to love it. We don't get to understand it could still help us relax and feel good. I'm going to stop because I think you're going to find something to come in on.
I know, I'm listening and remembering with you. I very struck by the woman with the sweeping. And, you know, it, repetitive movement. Again, we're doing something physical. We're getting out of our mind that might just be looping, you know, over and over with the thoughts, you know, whatever they may be, and that we're doing something physical. So whether it's repetitive or you're out for a walk, you're meditating, we're getting out of, we're doing something physical that can bring enjoyment on many, many levels. And that's so important to remember, just the littlest thing, you know, can make such huge impact. I was going to say when people are have what is depression, anxiety, things that run deeper, compassion, you know, having compassion for them, allowing them to have compassion for themselves, as the outsider of that person, being compassionate towards them. And that, to know that we can't fix everything, and everything can be fixed, and it's possibly fixed in its own time and space. I think that's so important. We live in such a hurried world that if we don't, you know, get to it right away, or, you know, well, why aren't you over it already? And, you know, expect everything to just, you know, go back to normal, whatever normal is. And, you know, it doesn't work like that. You know, time, you know, how we process, and to be kinder to ourselves and to others. I think that's a really important thing to remember.
Yes, so, and to try to practice in tiny ways. You know, there have been some very good books written on people's journeys, you know, as they took more time. I know there was one about someone who went to live in the Amish community for a year or so, and another book where a reporter from the New York Times paper went to live in a Hasidic Jewish community for a year or so. And neither of them changed, you know, their religion, their basic habits, but they were able to write these beautiful books from the Amish community, the pace of staying closer to nature and having more time together because they did not use televisions and things like that. And they had a very clear code of ethics and, you know, a style of life too that the outsider saw with new eyes because of the frazzle of living in her own community. There was quite a, you know, a paradoxical feeling about it. And the other woman who went to the Hasidic community in New York City, she felt so like a sense of safety and protection and joy in knowing neighbors and the concept of the depth of healing that prayer could bring and many other things that she learned. And yet neither of them, you know, no one wanted to change their basic lives, but they took in real guidance and lessons that, wow, you know, I treasured both of those books and took what I could from them. And so it's everywhere if you can take the time.
Right. And, you know, there are there's exercises, you know, various more authoritative people that, I say authoritative, specialists in their field, you know, that talk about pausing, you know, taking, you know, just stop for 5 seconds, take a breath and move on. You get to regroup even for that brief period of time. And also, you know, we're talking about activities, even just rubbing your hands gently together. And as Barbara said earlier, the senses, our sensory, you know, that's how we are. We're sensing people, humans. And you know, just rubbing your hands and noticing the texture of your skin, the temperature of your skin, maybe the sound as you're rubbing, if there's a sound, the smell of your hands. You know, you can bring in all the senses, you know. And that is so enriching to how we can enrich our lives in ways that, you know, don't take any money, any outside effort. You know, we can do this really at any moment. You know, listening, you spoke about nature, you know, just connecting, you know, listening, even if you live in a city, you know, just listening to the sounds, or if you live not in a city, just listening. What do you hear? And what do you smell? And, you know, it could be pleasant odors, it may be unpleasant odors, but the point is you are taking it all in and enriching your life.
I remember one odor that I never thought about in my life, which is the odor when you peel a fresh ear of corn. And one day, and I don't remember why it happened, when I peeled the corn to make supper, I started to smell it. And it was close to a sense of ecstasy. It was like the most beautiful perfume I had come across. It just felt like safe, you know, like healthy and vibrant and nature. And ever since then, of course, if I ever make corn on the cob, I do delight in a moment or two of smelling it. But the point is that how many things really exist and we never even think to get to them. You know, it's just, they're there, though.
I hate to intrude because this is a wonderful conversation, but we have 7 minutes left. Just want to let you know.
Oh, my goodness.
The time is
going
by very quickly.
So, yeah,
time
really
does fly, right?
So
I was going to say,
when
you're having fun.
Go ahead.
And, I was going to say, you know, even with things that are unpleasant, I'm going to talk about, since we're talking about odors, you know, there's certain things I don't like, a lot of cleaning products. And but just to be in touch with the fact of, I don't like this smell, you know, and what it does to my body, how I react. It's still a learning process and validating that what I like and dislike, but know that from that I can go to something that I do like. You know, I have choices. Let's put it this way, most of the time, choices. Yeah,
right,
not immediate,
right.
Later choices. You know, there's so many ways we can find our enchanted self, you know, find what brings us pleasure, even if it's for a second, you know, and coming back to what brings us joy. Sometimes it takes more work, sometimes it's spontaneous. I really think with practice and compassion that one can become more aware and finding those places and spaces in our mind and in our bodies that make life, you know, happier, joyful, pleasant.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
And find as I go, you know, through the years and I'm older, I find how much energy we can pick up and share from all sorts of people of all ages, and also recognizing energy that just doesn't feel good for us. And sometimes we have to back off a little from a certain type of friend, or learn how to not bring up certain subjects when you're with that person. You know, give that person a break and yourself, because your energies just don't flow the same way if you, just don't do some discernment about feeling good energy and liking the way the relationship goes. And I think I personally have become somewhat more tender around friends and loved ones and don't push their buttons or don't bring something up. I know it's just not going to sit that well. And what's the point of the mutual aggravation? So, yeah, we grow and we change, and we can still delight. I know many people in their 90s, they delight in life. They don't want to be put away, ignored. And even if they have many handicaps, possibly in the health area, that doesn't mean they're not getting pleasure just having a great-grandchild visit. You know, we don't understand stages of life unless we're in them, or, you know, mm-hmm. someone can clearly help us understand. So make a last, I'm going to leave the last comments to you, Doreen, okay?
Okay. There's a saying that I've heard many, many times through the Qigong practice that I've been doing for many, many years, and maybe people have said it elsewhere, but our body is home, and we have no other place to go except in our bodies. Our minds can take us anywhere and everywhere, but our mind is in our body. You know, our brain is in our body, and to keep reconnecting with our body, pleasure, I feel pain. Okay, just acknowledging ourselves and respecting ourselves. And that even, as Barbara said, sometimes, you know, life circumstances, we might have health issues or whatever, but we can still find, you know, if we choose to, the essence of who we are. And I have to say, sometimes in the most difficult situations, I can feel joy. It doesn't mean my issues have been resolved. It just means I can find that, not all the time, but in those moments, and can feel, I don't want to use the word happy, but I can feel something other than miserable or, you know, fearful. It's there. It's all inside of us. You know, body is home. It's all there. If we take the time to listen and be compassionate.
Wonderful and very, very moving. And I love that concept of body is home. So I hope we've given you some sense of enchantment and how both your mind and body can bring on enchantment again and again and again. And you can always find me on TheEnchantedSelf.com on the web, and I do answer any emails unless they are very strange or bizarre. I do answer people and write to people that have read my books and want to comment or ask questions, and that my email is barbara.holstein@gmail.com. And Doreen, do you want to give any information?
Yes, I can be reached through, it's a long email address, betterhealththroughmovement@gmail.com.
Good.
So,
great.
Thanks.
For sharing a delightful and thoughtful conversation. I certainly enjoyed it and learned from it, and I'm sure others will as well.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, and I hope you forgive us that we didn't call on you too much to join in. We'll have to do that next time.
I was delighted to listen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for being on.
Good night.
Thanks to everybody who listened. Good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.